Everyone, this is Mona Mirza, and welcome to a special edition of Hashtag Fine Talks, podcast powered by Luna Digital Portal. Today is an incredibly important day because it's Mental Health Day. And as we all know, that mental health has become a very crucial topic of discussion, especially in the past few years, with more awareness around stress, burnout, and well-being in our workplaces, homes, and even in our digital lives. So joining us today is someone who's been at the forefront of these conversations, Ms. Manvi. Hi, Manvi.
Hi, Mona. How are you?
I'm good. And welcome to Fine Talks podcast. And can you please go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah, so my name is Manvi Gupta and I'm an advocate for mental health awareness. So I completed my bachelor's and my master's in psychology from India and also professional degree in child guidance and family counseling. So recently, 2 years back, I shifted to Canada, and from Canada, I completed two of my degrees, that is addictions and mental health and autism and behavioral science. So now I'm also working as a behavioral specialist in this field, apart from as a mental health worker. Yeah, and I have had the opportunity to work in various fields, like from sales, marketing, e-commerce, and business development. And you know, throughout these experiences, I have learned the importance of addressing mental health a lot.
Really
yeah
nice. We're really so
yes
excited actually to dive into a variety of topics today, Manvi, and thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, so let's start by talking about Mental Health Day itself, like in general. Like over the past few years, mental health, it has moved from the shadows to the spotlight, like all of a sudden. So Manvi, can you just share a bit about why mental health is so important, and especially in today's world, and what changes have you seen in how actually people approach to this topic, mental health?
You know, listening to this word mental health makes me remind that how important it is to take care of our well-being, you know, to just reflect, to pause, and to take care of our mental well-being altogether. You know, just like we take a day off for the physical illness, we need to take a day off for our mental health as well to prevent, you know, various things, like to prevent burnout, to prevent long-term emotional stability. So we need time to decompress, to manage stress, and to recharge mentally, of course, to get going.
Yeah, I agree. That's true.
Right.
Yeah. So, but actually, one of the most challenging situations, like when we speak about in a workplace, okay, can be when a colleague is, like, for example, is going through mental health struggles, and people might not know how to extend help. So, from your experience, what are some signs we should look out for, and how can we best support a colleague who's facing mental health challenges?
You know, mental health is often overlooked, what I believe nowadays in the workplaces. And I think when we are not creating a safe space for the employees to feel supported, then how they will flourish, right? So what I believe is, like, we need to create a safe place for the employees, creating an environment where they can feel safe to express their mental health challenges without any fear of judgment. And also, you need to recognize stress, anxiety in an environment so that, of course, we can help them.
So workplace mental health is such a huge topic right now. And we know that stress, anxiety, burnouts, like you mentioned, can impact not just individuals' well-being, but also overall productivity and team dynamics. So Manvi, what steps can businesses take to create a mentally healthy workspace? Like, is there something that we are not aware of?
There are various employee assistance programs. So these programs provide confidential counseling services, stress management resources, and also provide, like, crisis of support for employees and their families. So I think this can help. And also, The business can provide various mental health benefits to them, like certain health insurance plans to cover their mental health care, like including therapy, counseling, and some of the medications. So that could also help. Apart from this, I can suggest like various wellness programs, like mindfulness workshops. This can be really helpful. Some of the meditation sessions, stress management classes, and yoga programs. Yeah. So this can, of course, help.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Stigma is still one of the biggest barriers when it comes to mental health, and people often
Right.
feel hesitant to open up about their struggles, especially in a professional environment. So, Manvi, why do you think the stigma around mental health persists, and what we can do to break it?
Yeah, I could say that is a really big issue nowadays. You know, mental health stigma often prevents people from seeking help, sharing their struggles, and you know, accessing the resources they need. So often what we can do is like create a safe space for them so that they could like easily talk to one another, encourage like we could encourage people to talk openly about their mental health experiences, whether through casual conversation or like in a storytelling way or sharing their personal experiences. Yeah, so these can be some of the things that could help taking out stigma. And we could also have school and workplace training, like introducing some of the mental health education in schools, workplace communities to help individuals recognize some of mental health issues and how to address them with empathy, of course.
That's right.
Yeah.
I agree. With regards to early intervention, actually can be a very big game changer when it comes to mental health. So how
Yeah.
can we recognize the early signs that someone may be struggling, and why is it actually important to address these issues before they escalate?
Early intervention in mental health is critical because it can prevent more serious conditions from developing. You know, we could help them through therapy, counseling, or just simply checking. You can just simply check on yourself, like, am I doing good? Am I doing right? Am I doing perfect these days? So addressing mental health issue early can lead to a better outcomes, I can say, and it can also reduce the severity of symptoms and help people regain control over their lives more quickly.
Right, so that's really very important,
Yeah,
right? That someone sh that
right.
a person should gear up and stand for themselves and speak out, because I actually want to know here is I want to make a point, like is there a difference between mental health and depression, or they are the same?
Yes. Yes, there is a difference between mental health and, you know, I can say mental health and depression. You know, depression is long lasting, I can say. Yes, basically depression falls under the category or the domain of major depressive disorder. So it's a health condition which is characterized by, you know, intense feeling of sadness, hopelessness, or emptiness, and that can last typically for a period of 2 weeks or more. And you know, we can always cure depression with therapy, with mixing it with some kind of medications, I can say. Yeah.
Okay. So,
Yeah.
what else? Yeah. So we all deal with stress in our daily lives, but then some days can be extremely overwhelming. So, what are some simple but effective coping mechanisms that people can use to manage everyday stress, as per your expert opinion? Like, what we should
You
do?
know, personally, if you're asking me, you know, what I do is like go out for a walk, listen to music. You know, coping mechanism depends person to person. You know, some people like going out for a walk when they are stressed. Some people always listen to music, going to gym. So you can just try certain strategies always. That for example, if I'm dealing with certain kind of stress, so I'll be like, it's okay. This time will pass, but I'm doing fine, I'm doing good. So these are certain defense mechanisms which a person can use.
Okay.
Apart from that, if these are not working, I will suggest some like mindfulness techniques. For example, meditation. This will actually help a person. Trust me, I have personally experienced this, and it's a very good coping mechanism.
Wow. Even having
Yeah.
the routine, yeah, change in lifestyle, maybe that
Yeah,
do
right.
it. That's nice. Okay, yeah, so like we are living in a digital age, yeah, so we are like constantly connected with each other, which obviously has its benefits, but can also lead to a lot of things like anxiety, stress, even depression. So, how do you think the digital world is impacting mental health, particularly for younger generations? And yeah, what can we do actually to create healthier digital habits?
Nowadays, digital era is a vast era, you know, and so it can be both a blessing and a challenging for us, of course. And now, as you see, social media is very great for connecting people, you know, but it's important to manage our digital consumption. We should all, what you can do to help is we can always create, you know, some digital time, like 3 to 4, I can just have this, and after 4, I will just switch off my laptop or switch off my iPads, and I can do some mindfulness things, you know. Always have a timer for those things. So I think this could be a good option to help in this digital era.
Right, that's true. And also, what content we consume online, that also makes a big difference, right?
That also matters, right? Correct.
Yeah, okay. So, I think we touched base on main topics. I think it'll be fair enough that we jump to the questions. So now let's move on to some questions from our audience, and I think they touch on a lot of important issues people face every day. So we conducted a small survey. We collected some questions from our colleagues, and we were so happy to see so many responses. So we'll pick up one of the questions for today.
Sure.
The first question says, how to overcome imposter syndrome, and is it related in any way to social anxiety?
So imposter syndrome basically is a psychological phenomena where, you know, individuals doubt their abilities, like constant self-doubt, fear of failure. Or like, am I good enough for this situation? Am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? So constantly these thoughts arrive in an individual's mind. Yeah. If I would like to relate it with social anxiety, you know, I could say that yes, these, you know, imposter syndrome and social anxiety is related, but they are not the same thing. You know, yeah. So basically, social anxiety is what it is, like intense fear of social situations and constantly the individual worries about being judged, humiliated, or embarrassed. Imposter syndrome is like a fuel to the social anxiety. It gives a fuel to the social anxiety. So basically, they overlap. But if I talk about some of the key differences, you know, imposter syndrome is basically, you know, it takes place in the professional or performance related situation. While if talk about the social anxiety, it is more about the fear of judgment or embarrassment in the social situation. So yeah, so these are some of the key differences of imposter syndrome and social anxiety.
And imposter syndrome, that it can be cured, like
Yes.
okay.
Imposter syndrome, yeah, can be cured. You know, addressing the issue at the right time is everything, you know, through therapy, through self-reflection, through support. that this can help manage these feelings more effectively, I can say.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll pick up this next question. It
Sure.
says, I want peaceful sleep at least during night. It's like I'm physically sleeping, but my mind is busy. So be done.
So, it's very common nowadays. It's very common. I also still feels like this. It's very creepy. It's, when you are doing something and you are still constantly thinking about work. In this situation, what I think is you can set a clear boundaries, like defining work hours, like 3 to 4, I will do my work, and after work, I will not answer any of the emails. I would avoid checking my emails or just switching off, I can say, mentally switching off or switching off your cell phones. Yeah, so this is very important. Also, yeah, so also you can practice mindfulness. Meditation is really important, or you can download some of the apps like Calm or Headspace apps that can actually manage lingering thoughts about the work. And, if you are facing this issue, you can always journalize it. It's always good to write down these thoughts and think about it.
How does
So
that
I
help?
guess, yeah, this can actually help.
It's really very
Yeah.
effective.
Yeah, right. It's really very effective. Personally, I had tried these things for me.
It's just like you ease out yourself, like one chunk of that burden that you're carrying is like out from
Right.
your system.
Right. You vent out yourself.
I agree.
Yeah.
Need to try that. There is one question that says that how do medications work to treat mental health conditions? Yeah, this is interesting. Now I need to know. Yeah, how effective are these medications for mental health conditions?
So, mental health conditions are really complex, and different people respond to medications in different ways, So it might take time to find out the right medication or combination of treatments, and medications are often most effective when combined with therapy and lifestyle changes, of course. So, how medication works? It is like they primarily target the neurotransmitters. Now, what are neurotransmitters? Neurotransmitters are the chemical messengers, the chemical veins in the brain that carries the messages. So, yeah, so these actually play a very important role in mood regulation, stress response, and cognition. So there are various medications like antidepressants, antipsychotics, mood stabilizers.
That's
So it's really essential for patient to work closely with your healthcare providers to monitor your effectiveness, adjust the doses of the medication, and manage their potential side effects, of course.
right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. We'll take the next question that says, what are some signs that someone is struggling with their mental health, even if they do not realize it?
We never know what people are dealing with. We never know. So there are severe subtle signs that someone may be struggling with their mental health, even if they don't recognize this, like changes in mood, loss of interest, losing interest in their hobbies, activities, or things they once enjoyed, and such as spending time with friends or engaging in leisure activities. And some of it can be physical symptoms as well, like sleep disturbances. People are often not aware of these things. Like they are having trouble in falling asleep or staying asleep or sleeping too much, which is called hypersomnia as well. And often this can affect their weight, their diet. Yeah. So these are some of the symptoms.
That's right. So this question, next question is, I think, from the sales department. So what it
Okay.
says, how do you respond to rejections by clients, which leads to stress and anxiety?
Okay. Rejections, when we say rejections, it can be heartbreaking.
Yes.
So we should always acknowledge the feelings. Always. We could, reframe rejection. We could always take it as an opportunity, It's called graceful acceptance. In my terms, what I say, it's called graceful
I
acceptance,
like that.
like this, responding to the client in a very politely and professional manner, expressing gratitude for the opportunity to engage with them. If I would be at that place, I would be like, thank you for considering my proposal. While I'm disappointed, we couldn't move forward this time, and I truly appreciate the opportunity and would love to stay in touch for any future needs you might have. This, I would use these statements for, graceful
Affirmations.
acceptance, what I, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very important. You can just try this thing. And, each rejection can be an opportunity to grow stronger and wiser in your career.
You're right. That's
Yeah.
very beautiful advice, Manvi. Really.
Thank you.
There's this interesting question that says, I still think about work even when I'm at home. Yeah, this actually, even I go through this. So any tips? How can we switch off?
It's a very common thought. It's very common thought. I still deal with it nowadays.
Oh.
But what I said earlier, Muna, is like you can always set boundaries, clear boundaries,
Sometimes it's difficult,
you
Manvi.
yeah you can if you have a small workplace at your home, if you are working there, so it's like in your mind you can always be like, okay, I'll be working 4 to 5 at my office, then I'll maybe go out for a short break. So, your mind will be like, okay, I'll be having a break after this. So you'll be more into that break moment that, okay, now it's my break time. I'm done with all my work. These things can help, of course. Talking about more over this, I would say, always communicate. It's always better to talk to people and communicate with them what you are feeling. If you are having too much overburden of work, talk to your colleagues, I can say.
Yes.
Yeah, so this can often help to share your thoughts, share your work, of course, and that can be useful.
That's right. I agree. We'll apply
Yeah.
it. Yeah. Okay, there is this one question. It's a little bit elaborate. I'm really not sure if this falls in your domain, but I'll just read it out. And it says,
Okay.
how to handle a teenager who is not showing seriousness and interest in studies and is going to write the board paper, but was actually a very intelligent and well-scoring student, how to bring him back to the track, though the teenager is not into any bad influence or does not have freedom with respect to gadgets. Yeah.
Okay. I work with kids, so of course this question falls in my domain. So, handling a teenager is really challenging. It can be challenging sometimes. And when I see my brother in a teenage age, I could just your question just reminds me of my brother, how he has been in his teenage age. I could say that what I have said earlier, and I will say again, it's really important to create a safe space for the teenager. Like ask them how they are feeling about their studies, their school, their exams, how they're feeling about their friends, like the place they are working, any question that can help them share their thoughts with you, and it's really important nowadays to listen to a teenager. It's called active listening, in my words. Listen to him, ask him if he is dealing with any kind of stress or any kind of anxiety. Make him vent him out.
Right.
Yeah, or you could also help him establish structured study routine, ask him to take a break after 5 to 10 minutes, every 5 to 10 minutes, I can say. So he'll be like more motivated to study. One more thing I can say is like reinforcing. It's a very helpful method. Reinforce him with some of the good things, like surprise him with his favorite food, surprise him with his favorite toy or his favorite, like take him out for a ride, take him out for a food, some things like that.
Okay, so perks.
Folks, of course.
Yeah, and this is not only with teenagers, even like kids who are below 13, we can do this for them.
Yeah, we
Nowadays
can
they
do
are
this
just
for
so
them, of
glued to
course.
their gadgets and they kind of become very, I know parental monitoring should be there, but then sometimes they become very aggressive. It's so hard to deal. So yeah, I think these techniques might help.
Yeah, these, always encouraging their hobbies. This is a very good method of helping them socializing with other people, Everybody's tech savvy nowadays, have iPads, have laptops in their hands. So, of course, it's really important to have a regular check-in with them, monitor their progress.
Okay. Wow, what a session, Manvi. Thank you so much for your thoughtful insights and practical advice today. And I'm sure our viewers and listeners have taken away many valuable tips that they can start applying in their daily lives, whether it's at work, at home, or even online. So before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with on this mental health day? If you can share your contact details for our listeners to connect with you in future, please.
Okay, so my email ID is Manvi, which is MANVII 1437 at the rate gmail.com. You could just email me personally. They could also connect with me on the social media. So,
Great. I think that's all for today's podcast, but the conversation doesn't stop here. Make sure to take care of your mental health, all your listeners who are tuned in with us, and do not be afraid to reach out for support whenever you need it. So thank you once again, Manvi, for joining us, and thanks to everyone who submitted their questions. And here also a special shout out to Miss Femina, who bridged the gap and got us connected to Manvi for today's session. So Femina, if you're listening, thank you so much, and your support means a lot.
Thank you so much, Mona.
Yeah,
Thank you
you're most
so
welcome.
much for inviting me on this big
Thank
day.
you. Thank you for your time, really, and for
No,
doing
no,
this
no,
for
no,
me.
yeah. Mental health is my top priority, and I want everyone to be safe, to be healthy. So, yeah.
Thank you so much, Manvi. In the meantime, keep an eye on our upcoming episodes. Do not forget to follow #FindTalks. So until then, stay well and take care.